Welcome to Treasure the Word. Here are some insights on Psalms 1:8. The Psalter opens by drawing a line, and it draws that line before it says a single word about God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. 1:1. Notice the progression hidden inside that first verse. Walking, then standing, then sitting, a slow settling in that moves from merely passing through a wicked crowd to eventually taking up permanent residence among them. The psalmist is not warning us against one dramatic fall into sin so much as against the gradual erosion of an unguarded life. But the verse that matters even more than the warning is the one that follows it. The blessed man's delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. 1:2. Day and night, here is a Hebrew figure of speech, a merism, in which two opposite points stand in for the whole in between. Not two separate occasions for reflection, morning and evening, but a mind continuously occupied with God's word, the way Moses had once instructed Israel to talk about God's commands, when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Deuteronomy 6:7. Two ways of life follow from these two postures. The righteous, like a tree planted by streams of water, bears fruit in season and does not wither. The wicked are like chaff, weightless, blown away, with no substance to withstand the wind. Psalm 1 is not only the first psalm, it is the lens through which the whole Psalter asks to be read. Psalm 2 widens the lens from the individual to the nations. Earthly kings conspire against the Lord and against his anointed, 2:2, and God's response is not alarm, but laughter. The one enthroned in heaven laughs, 2:4. This is one of the psalms the New Testament identifies most directly with Jesus. When the apostles were threatened after healing a crippled man, they prayed this very psalm back to God. Recognizing in Herod and Pilate's conspiracy against Jesus, the same futile raging the psalm describes, Acts 4:25-28. Every generation's attempts to dethrone God's anointed king have ended the same way, and this psalm invites us to take the long view of every threat that looks, in the moment, unanswerable. Then abruptly, the Psalter turns personal. Psalm 3 carries a superscription unlike anything before it, a psalm of David, when he fled from his son Absalom. This is not a hypothetical trouble. It is David, betrayed by his own child, forced out of his own capital, his crown actively being stolen from him as he writes. And yet, I lie down and sleep, I wake again, because the Lord sustains me. I will not fear, though tens of thousands assail me on every side. 3:5-6. David's sleep is not the sleep of a man untroubled. It is the sleep of a man who has correctly identified who is actually in control of the outcome. He understood, even fleeing for his life, that God was not merely his defender but his judge, the one sovereign over the entire unfolding crisis, including his son's rebellion. That is why he could flee without panic and pray without pretending the danger away. Psalms 4-7 continue in this same register. Prayers for relief from distress, laments over false accusation, cries for deliverance from enemies who mean real harm. The Psalter refuses, from its very early chapters, to pretend that trust in God and acute suffering are incompatible. They are, in fact, frequent companions here. The chapter closes with Psalm 8, and the register shifts entirely from lament to wonder. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? 8:3-4. It is a genuinely strange thing that the God who flung the stars into place also numbers the hairs on our heads, and the psalmist does not try to resolve the strangeness. He simply marvels at it and lets that marveling become worship. From the gateway of Psalm 1 to the wonder of Psalm 8, this opening chapter of the Psalter has already shown us both halves of the honest life of faith. The discipline of walking rightly, and the danger of walking through a world where rightness is no guarantee of safety, held together in every case by a God worth trusting through both. Thank you for spending this time in Psalms 1-8. Until next time, keep treasuring the Word.